I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
Yes, we are, aren't we?
We sure are. How are you doing this weekend, Patrick?
I'm tired.
Yeah, as people know, we do batch record, although we're batch recording a little less. We're kind of doing two episodes at a time every 2 weeks, but we are still recording this one Thanksgiving weekend, even though you're going to hear this a couple of weeks after Thanksgiving. But yes, it's always a little challenging recovering. Now, you did your Thanksgiving at home, correct?
No.
No, you traveled.
We did both.
Okay.
So we went to my aunt and uncle's house on Thanksgiving Day, and then the day after Thanksgiving, which would be yesterday as of this recording, then I got up and did my own thing.
Oh, well, that must have been the pictures I saw on Facebook was from your Friday Thanksgiving that I...
Correct, yes. No, actually, the picture on Facebook was from my aunt and uncle's house.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that was from Thursday. And then Friday, because, everybody likes to do their Thanksgiving... Like, everybody has their favorite things. And a lot of times when you go over to someone else's house, you don't get your favorite thing. Right?
I understand.
Because you didn't make it, or because such and such didn't make it, or something like that. So my mom and my brother are very particular about stuffing. And my aunt doesn't make it the way they like it. So they like when I make the stuffing their way for them, because I do all the cooking. And I love yams. And my aunt follows a very strange recipe that I don't understand. She basically takes yams and she puts them in a pan. She pours orange juice over them, mashes them up, and cooks them, and then complains that no one will eat them and doesn't even know why she makes them.
Yeah, so stop making it. I never understand that. It's like, no one ever
eats. I don't either. She'll say, well, this is the way my uncle, this is the way John's mother used to make them. I want to make them, you know, the way he had them growing up. But what's funny is he eats them when I make them, which is I put yams in a pan. I put brown sugar in the pan and butter, and I just let them cook.
That's the way that my mom does it. It's the brown sugar and the...
Yeah, and they're great. You know, other people like the marshmallows on them. I'm not a marshmallow fan.
No, I don't like...
So I don't like the marshmallow deal that a lot of people do. So there's little things that you do that's unique to you and your family. And so we went and we had a great dinner with them. And then Friday, you know, I didn't buy a full bird. I bought this it was a turkey breast.
Okay.
But it was the whole breast with the ribs and everything. And so I cooked that. So I didn't have to cook the whole bird, but we still have plenty of leftovers, you know, to play with and do other things over the weekend. I'll end up making I like to make a turkey pot pie from scratch with that and different things. And so it was just good. We ate like three times yesterday.
That's how you know you're doing it right.
So, and then I always make banana pudding too. So.
Oh. That's good stuff. Yeah, no, it was good. It was good.
What'd you guys do?
We went to my parents, who are in Delaware, and drive was very good this year. We didn't really hit much traffic, and we were there. We had a nice time. Food was good. Came home. I don't know. It was all good. It was, you know, pretty straightforward kind of stuff. Got home early enough yesterday on Friday, where we still like had some of the day. Not that we did anything, but it was nice to not have to do anything, and you know, so it was good and sort of set us up to have a good today, although my wife is feeling a little under the weather today. So I don't know, just from the traveling or, you know, just it's, you know,
sure.
You know, yeah, it is, but it was good. But I had thoughts.
You did.
And we do the, as people will know from the last bunch of just the two of us, is that Patrick and I, we used to plan things to talk about. And so often we'd plan things and then never talk about them anyway, that we decided that, you know what, let's just go into it and let it go where it does. And we always say we're going to keep it short, and we never do, and all that. But I had thoughts, because one of the things that Patrick and I talk about behind the scenes, so it's a little bit of a behind the curtain thing. And Patrick does a great job editing the show. And I think he does a very great job editing out my ums and uhs and you knows, which, you know, people are like, really? Because it seems like you do it a lot. It's like, well, he can't get them all out. And so it just goes to show you how much editing he does on the show to get out my ums and uhs and you knows and all of that. And one of the things that Patrick told me when we have our Just the Two of Us episodes is that I barely do that when we have a Just the Two of Us episode. Mm-hmm. I think you said this. Maybe I'm wrong about this. Am I correct in
No, that's correct.
In my assessment? Yeah. And I was thinking about this since he said it. And I think what I've come to, the conclusion that I've come to, or it's at least a thought, is that when we have guests, I tend to plan. I tend to write out what I want to say about them. And I tend to write out some questions. And I think at one point in the show, I really wanted to show our audience how smart I was by asking such good questions. And I realized, like, well, it's not about me. You know, we want to have the guest on and have a natural conversation and all of that kind of stuff. And I realized that's the ums and uhs and you knows are because I'm nervous and I'm reading it and I'm trying to get something out and I'm trying to say too many words at once. Is when we have just the two of us and we don't have anything planned and I'm not reading anything, I just speak normally and I don't get all that. And I'm like, well, that's probably a good thing and maybe a lesson to carry over into the episodes where we have guests, because I was thinking, like, well, you don't want to not plan at all. But I was thinking, like, maybe I should not plan as much out, because if you just kind of let things go naturally, then maybe it'll be better. Because we've also gotten some very nice feedback on our Just the Two of Us episodes. And I'm like, how can we get that spirit in when we have guests? And part of it is maybe not planning so much, or at least not writing down a paragraph worth of things to say about it. So I feel like you have a thought already. So
I do. I don't think there's anything at all wrong with planning and writing out questions and thoughts. Mm-hmm. I think where the problem comes in is when you read. Mm-hmm. And when I say you, I don't mean you specifically.
No, I
mean everybody. I think when you have show notes and you're sitting there reading them, or you're trying to read through questions, that's when it becomes stiff and it becomes something that you start to get nervous about. And a lot of times, I tell you, when I was over at SF Signal, the questions that just popped into my head during the conversation were sometimes the best.
Right.
You know? And I think a lot of times if you plan and structure things out, you want to get to everything that you've planned and structured out. And when you don't, then you start going, oh gosh, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, because I gotta get to this, and you want to keep going and going and going and going, right? And I almost feel like you do all your show prep and you read it before and then you don't have it open.
I you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because this was something that I came across quite a while ago. I wasn't thinking about it just now, but now what you just said reminded me. There is an author. His name is Neil Strauss. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Uh-huh. He's written a bunch of different books. He's also written a lot of these interview books. Like, I think he's most famously known for The Dirt, which is that Motley Crue book that came out like 10, 15 years ago. That was like a big hit book. But he's also done tons of interviews for like Rolling Stone magazine. And he's considered an excellent interviewer. That's kind of his trip. And most of his books are they're either biographies or about some particular subject. And one of the things that I either heard in a podcast interview with him or just something that I read was that, now we wouldn't be able to do this week to week. We're talking about, this is a guy that writes these like full length books, long articles. So it's a little bit of a different situation, but he essentially, the planning that he does is he reads everything he can about whoever he's going to be interviewing, just gets as many previous interviews, whatever. He finds as much as he can about his subject, researches it extensively, writes out pages and pages, or I think he might even do it on index cards, and writes out a huge stack of index cards, questions on index cards. And then when he gets to the day of the interview, he like you said, looks him over, and then he puts him in his pocket and puts him in his bag and never looks at him.
Yeah.
Like he just then has a normal conversation, and whatever comes up, but he's prepared
and informed. That's the other part. You're informed. Yes. Yeah.
But he's not reading from and I think that's part of the problem that I've had in the past is that I'm like, oh, I found out this cool stuff. We got to get to it. But it might not come up naturally. And when you try to sort of jam it in, it makes it awkward. I think one of the kind of compliments that we had on the Just the Two of Us, and I don't want to say criticisms, but just one of the things that people noticed about some of the guest episodes is that, oh, well, sometimes it feels a little too rigid. And that's probably what that person was picking up on.
Yeah.
Is that like I'm trying to conform the I'm trying to steer the conversation in a certain direction.
Well, I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't feel bad about myself for doing
no.
it. It's like look,
you
I'm
shouldn't.
Trying to
no.
I'm trying to improve the show, and I think one of the ways to improve the show is to be a little looser. Like we just did an interview. This episode will air after. So our most recent interview is with Tracy Townsend, who we just interviewed, you know, a half hour ago. And that I felt was very natural. Like I did a little bit of research, but I didn't really have much prepared and like, I wasn't reading from anything. I just said, and I feel like we had a nice conversation, and I feel like I didn't even really talk that much, which was great because she did end up doing some nice picks on gaming. And obviously you have the background and the interest in gaming. So we talked about that for a bit and it was just a nice natural flow. And I felt like she got to present what her book was about, and what her interests as a person are. And again, when we have our guests on, we always say kind of the best thing you can do to sell your book is to not really even talk about your book that much. Mm-hmm. Just present yourself as yourself as an interesting person, as a likable person.
Right.
And I feel like that's why I know for me as a listener of other shows, I often will go and buy books or whatever the case may be, because I'm like, that person was cool. Like, I like that. I like what they were not even cool, but just like, I liked what they were about.
You
know, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No. Everybody knows that I'm a marketer, right?
Yes.
We've talked about this before. And what we do is loosely content marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are sick to death of being sold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, and this has been my mantra from the beginning, and it's what I always did at SF Signal. I want to get to know you, and I want our listeners to get to know you, because 9 times out of 10, when they listen to us talk to you and you come off as a real genuine person that is not constantly saying buy my book, and you tell a cute story about your dog or your kid or the cat or whatever it is, you know, that we end up having a conversation about, board games, video games, anything, that makes a connection. And it's a connection that the person listening says, wow, you know, that something similar happened to me. And I get it. I understand what you're talking about. Wow. You're the kind of person I would love to hang out with. I'm going to go check out your book.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of, I think the interview with Tracy is a great example of that. She talked about board games. She talked about going to see Thor Ragnarok. Talked about her dogs. Yeah. And I think you're right. Because guess what? A lot of our audience probably saw Thor. A lot of our audience plays board games. A lot of our audience has dogs. It's like, oh yeah. And look, again, we didn't prepare any of that. No. It's not like we said, like, hey, hit Thor, because our audience loves
it,
Thor.
It comes off as genuine. It's not fake. And that's important.
Yeah, because I don't know. Like, I think a lot of times I want to get to these, or in the past at least anyway, we've wanted to get to these sort of high-minded, serious topics. And look, if it naturally goes that way, I'm excited to talk about it. And I think there's a place for that too. And if it comes to some, like what, one of the picks that I wanted to do was kind of based on what you were talking about before we were, before we started recording, you guys were talking about social media, and she was talking about some of her Twitter stuff and with her, and you guys were talking about bosses and social media. And then she was talking about,
you're like, oh, that's gold.
Yeah. Right. And one of the books that I read, and I don't want to necessarily talk about the book right now, is I read this book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed, which is a great title for a book. It's by a guy named John Ronson. And it's basically about, it's a very recently, I think it was written about a year or two ago, and it's about people being publicly shamed, but specifically on social media, like the sort of how, oh, someone did a faux pas, now we're going to all gang up on them and, you know, ruin their life essentially.
Yeah.
And talking about, and it's an interesting book because he doesn't really take a moral judgment either way on it so much, but how in the beginning when that started happening, he was all for it. He's like, oh yeah, like bring out the, you know, if there's an injustice in the world, like we as a public should get out there and shine a light on it. And that's true to a certain extent. But then he, again, talking about interviewing, he interviewed a lot of these people who had downfalls, and essentially came down to they did something stupid. You know, they weren't necessarily horrible people, but they made a bad offensive joke,
yeah,
or something. And essentially their career was destroyed because they made one dumb tweet.
Right.
And it's, well, let's look at this a little deeper. Maybe this isn't such a great thing, you know? So it's an interesting book if you're into that stuff. And I thought like, ooh, we were talking about that. Maybe I'll mention this book and this will lead into a very serious discussion on social media and the pros and cons of it. And look at it, if it went that way naturally, great. But I think in the past I would have really forced the issue on that. And I'm just like, you know, we're having a nice conversation about Thor and board games and like, let's just keep it rolling. It's nice. Like let's, you know, it's like, we only got 10 minutes left. We don't need to like try to have a serious discussion in 7 of those minutes. It's, you know, so I've come around on it. And when I was thinking about this too, you know, I almost had the thoughts, and I don't think this is the way to go. Part of me thought like, well, maybe we just shouldn't have guests anymore. I was like, maybe every week we'll just do it, just the two of us. And I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, just because there's a good part to it, I think the guests are important. But I did have that thought for a minute. And I'm just like, well, I think the key is being looser. I think the key is also, and I like the fact that we're doing the show every 2 weeks as opposed to once a month now, because it does allow us to be a little more topical if we want to be.
Sure.
Not too much. It's not like we're breaking news stories or anything, but I think a lot of times it's like, oh, well, this isn't going to air for a month, so this story is not going to make any sense.
It's funny because of the evolution of the show, where we used to record on Thursday to post on Tuesday every week. Mm-hmm. And we did that for the longest time.
Right, right.
And then we went to the batch record on Saturday for a lot of different reasons. I think one of them was the fact that I had a job at the time that I couldn't get Thursdays off or something like that, or I was just exhausted all the time. I was in hell. Mm-hmm. And we switched to Saturdays, and we've been doing that for a long time now. And then we recently figured out that it's just a long haul to do four episodes in one afternoon. And plus Zencastr kind of forced us to, we need a little bit of time post recording for it to render the audio.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just pushed a little extra time, and you know, it all adds up. So yeah, doing the two at a time twice a month, I think is working out pretty well.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel a little less pressure going into the day, because a lot of times a couple of days before it's like, oh, we're having three guests and what are we going to talk about? And oh, I should really prepare more and blah, blah, blah. And it's like now it's like, well, it's two people at the most. And, you know, in a week like this, we just had one guest and it's just the two of us. So I'm just like, yeah, it's cool. It'll be fine. So I think that's actually helping allow me be a little more relaxed about it. I don't feel overwhelmed like, oh, four, we're gonna knock out four. Here we go.
And John, I don't want you to take the feedback that we get from people and think that we're doing bad job or anything like that. We're not. You know, I have always gotten compliments from people on our show, Functional Nerds, and on SF Signal about just our style, which I fully admit that, you know, the SF Signal kind of style we don't necessarily do here. Mm-hmm. We are more structured on Functional Nerds, but we still stay loose enough to have conversations with people and be genuine and real. And I think that that really resonates with people and why they keep coming back week after week to listen to us.
I think about the podcast that I like, and they kind of fall into two camps. One is longer form interview, where it's anywhere from a half hour to an hour, or really longer. Some of the shows I listen to are like an hour and a half long, where there's some segments too, but for the most, the meat of the show is a long form interview. And that's a lot of the music and rock and metal things. And so sometimes they'll have like three different interviews and they jam them all in one long show. They just have like 3 half-hour interviews or something. So that's one kind of format that I like a lot. And then the other podcasts that I listen to are also once a week, but they are very segmented and kind of topical. And a lot of it I think is probably because I think all of them have Tom Merritt as a host or a co-host where, and I think that's the way he does podcasts. He has it where there's, you know, his podcasts tend to be from like 40 minutes to an hour, depending on the show. And they have probably 5 to 10 segments, and they're loose within those segments, but they, you know, for Cord Killers, for example, they talk about general news within that sphere. And then they talk about gear, and then they talk about what they're watching. And then they talk, you know, so they have like these sort of set segments that they have. And so I like that. And, you know, I guess we're somewhere in the middle, but more towards the interview side, because that's sometimes I think about it, it's like, oh, and I mean, we have our picks segment. But I also think like, well, we tend to talk about a lot of the same things. Like maybe we should have segments, but then I'm like, yeah, but then I don't, that again is maybe trying to constrain it too much then for us at least anyway. Cause I'm like, well, we do talk about Netflix stuff a lot. Maybe we should have a 10 minute section where we talk about what's going on in streaming. And maybe we should have a 10 minute section of talking about what's going on in gaming. And I don't know if that works for us though. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there, but I don't know if our listeners would like that either, but that's a thought that I've had recently. It's like, oh, maybe we keep it loose, but kind of make sure that we hit certain things. I don't know, but I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
As the official keeper of the Chronicles, you know, we have tried stuff like that in the past.
Yeah,
and never works.
Well, the very beginning of the show, before we even had guests, like we had very structured segments. Like we're going to talk about Stargate Universe, and then we're going to talk about that. I remember talking about it early on. That was like the first couple of months of the show. We talked about that, and we would have some sort of publishing, news.
We had segment. We had segments. We had news segments. We had everything broken out because we were sort of following the pattern that I was trying to do on my ATFMB podcast.
Right.
And so we were trying to be very scripted, and we had these things we were going to talk about and these segments, and it was going to go this long. And I also tried to do that at SF Signal, and it just never worked out because people want to talk.
Right.
And when you clip them and cut them off, I don't like it myself.
Yeah. Now that you're saying that, that's kind of the way I feel about it too. It's kind of like just what I said before about trying to shoehorn a certain topic in.
Yeah.
It's the same deal. Again, you and Tracy ended up, discussing board games quite a bit, and that was really nice. And if I'm like, well, it's time to get onto the Netflix segment, that would have kind of ruined that. It would have ruined that nice back and forth that you guys were having. And the people in our audience that like games, I'm sure were like, ooh, let me write down these games.
Yeah.
These sound good. Like, I don't know these. And I want to allow for that kind of natural conversation.
I think that there's a skill to that and to doing that well. And if you listen to those podcasts from Tom Merritt, and specifically the ones where I'm on them with him, you can see that I'm – like he has that skill, but it's still, you're still cutting someone off.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's the way it goes. You know,
it works for those shows. Cause I like those shows a lot, and it works. And look, Tom comes from a broadcasting background.
Like
Tom did radio for years. Tom did TV. So he really knows how to make those jumps without them seeming like jumps.
Yep.
And, you know, to compliment Tommy, yeah, he's great at that, but he also has some shows that are looser than that. Not all of his shows are like that. He has a Star Wars show that I listen to where they are way looser. They do it like once a month. And the podcast is called Let's Talk About Star Wars. And that's what they do. Mm. They get together once a month. It's him and Garrett Weinzierl and Jenny Josephson. And I mean, I think they have some topics planned, but they just talk about Star Wars, and it's great. And it's really loose. And Current Geek is kind of loose too. I mean, although they do some new segments and stuff too, but so I think you're right. I don't think it works for us. And I think I am not as skilled of a broadcaster as Tom is. And me, it just sounds like I'm totally cutting somebody off. It's like, look, I know you want to talk about that, but I have this much more important thing to talk about.
Yeah.
And it does derail. And then I feel like it takes you 5 to 10 minutes to get the next segment going then. And you're sort of awkwardly trying to make that work. And then the next thing you know, it's like, well, now we're running out of time. So, and that's why I wanted to, when we had Tracy on the show, I wanted her to talk about her book first, because I kind of had a feeling, you know what, I think our picks are going to end up taking up most of the show. And they did, but that was great. And I kind of love when that happens. If that happens naturally, when someone picks something that the other person wasn't expecting, and then you have this nice connection where you're talking about some show or some book or some game or whatever, I think that's great. So to me, if that's the way it happens, so be it.
Yeah.
That's fine by me. But yeah, those were kind of my thoughts on it. And I felt very good about the interview with Tracy. And I'm like, you know what? I think that's kind of the key, is like you said, prepare, but don't read anything.
Because yeah,
that's when I get myself into trouble, is when I'm reading and I'm trying to shoehorn things in. I think that's... Now, the Tracy interview, you may go and edit that and you're like, yeah, you still you-know'd and ummed and like out the wazoo, dude. So still got to work on it, man. That's not the... Yeah, I am aware of that kind of thing, because I've done a little bit of professional development where I get up and speak in front of people over the past year for my job. And I am very aware of my ums and uhs between this and that. And it's something I'd actually like to do a little bit more. I would like to do more professional development, because I like getting up and talking about a subject that I'm interested in. And maybe it comes from performing music, but I don't get nervous getting in front of people. I really get a big charge out of it. And I realize, like, well, if I want to do this more, I need to get better at this. And the way I need to get better at it is to, one of the ways I need to get better at it is to really cut down on the verbal tics. That's key to public speaking.
So there's a lot of thought about why people say and it's usually because you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
You have hit a point in your speech, in your conversation, in answering a question, in whatever it is, that you don't know what to say, and you are afraid subconsciously to allow a pregnant pause. You think that you don't want, like, your brain is wired to that pauses are awkward. Silence is awkward. And so you try to fill that silence while your brain is catching up to say whatever and you know, bring forth the words. So a lot of times you say and and you can look this stuff up. It's out there.
Yeah, and I think it's also anxiety.
It can be anxiety as well. Yes. It all kind of comes together in a nice little storm inside your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And how it manifests is you say, well, you know, because you're trying to think of, I want to sound intelligent. I don't want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about. I've looked into this stuff. When you talk about doing public speaking, I've probably done more than you at this point.
Probably, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has been Scrivener classes, right, and teaching. And it's kind of funny, because organizers of writers' conferences and events and different things that tend to invite me want a structured Scrivener class. And I have structured Scrivener classes, but what I've found and discovered is that when I go to teach people how to use Scrivener, they do get a lot from that structured class, but they're so focused on this one thing that's bugging them. And if I don't get to that one thing that's bugging them, they don't enjoy the class. The class did not, I haven't solved their problem. So what I typically do now is open forum questions. And I'll just get up and I'll stand up and say, look, I have a class, I have a presentation, I have it all set up, it's queued on my laptop here, we can go through it. I'm gonna go through it. However, what are you looking for? What are the issues that you're having so that we can get to that and I can solve your problem? And you'd be surprised how well that works. And I don't say and I don't say because now I've got them asking me questions and I write down the questions. And then as I'm going through my presentation and doing stuff, I say, oh, and by the way, you know, Bob, you were looking for how do I do this, this, and this and compile. That's what we're going to talk about in this section. And let me show you how to do that. And does that solve your problem, Bob? And they're like, oh, yeah, that does. Thank you. It's about feeling better about what you're presenting, what you're talking about, how the conversation that you're having, excuse me, and relaxing. Mm-hmm. You know the topic. You know what you're talking about. There's no reason for you to have that pregnant pause if you just let yourself relax and go.
Yeah, this reminds me of something that I've been doing in teaching over the past year, but specifically this school year. I've read a bunch of books about this thing called deliberate practice, and I think I've mentioned that before. But essentially, when you're teaching, it comes down to people learn things by doing them, by getting hands-on work with whatever the subject matter is, whatever the skill. And as people know, I'm a music teacher, and I teach the instruments, how you play clarinet, saxophone, and all that kind of stuff. And I have my groups that are four or five students in a group. And my boss, my principal, is about my age, and he was a phys ed teacher. And so he comes from same sort of generation that I come from in terms of teaching. And, you know, the way that we were taught to teach is that, you know, you get up there and you impart your knowledge on these minds. and whenever you would get observed, you wanted to sort of present yourself that way. Like, look at all this fantastic information I have to present to these people. And look how eloquent I am in my speech, and look how knowledgeable I am. And you were essentially trying to impress your boss so that you would get a good write-up. And that's really not the way to do it. And he and I really see eye to eye in this whole idea of deliberate practice. And the way that I do my lessons now, I barely speak. I used to speak all through the lesson. I'd be like, all right, let's try this next section. Okay, this is how you do it. And I would show him how to do it. And then we'd all try it together. And then what happened is some kids would get it, some wouldn't, and some would move forward and some would fall behind. And it was not the most effective way to teach. And now I have them using a program online, which is their book, and where they can sit with their laptops all around my room. Like, there's only four or five of them per lesson, and they have their earbuds and they have their instrument, and they are essentially getting reps on whatever little piece they're practicing. And they spend most of the lesson getting those reps in, working independently. And I just walk around the room like a coach. And if I see them, you know, if I see their hand in the wrong position or whatever, then I go to them individually. I'm like, all right, like, put your hand here. This is how you do this. And it's like, all right, you know what you're doing? This isn't right. Let me show you how to do this correctly. But while I'm helping one student, the other three are getting reps in. They're not waiting around for me. So the point is that my observation was probably the highest I ever got rated for an observation. I barely said two sentences during that whole 45-minute lesson. All I did was walk around the room and let them work. And I think it's a similar idea to what you're saying. It's like, let the people kind of lead where you're going. Don't just try to go by your scripted thing. Meet the needs of your audience. And I think this dovetails back into our podcasting. It's like, well, let's kind of let the conversation go where it's going to go naturally based on our guest, or just you know, based on how we're feeling too, because sometimes we're going to feel light and talking about silly things and maybe we'll do that. And sometimes we might be more inclined to talk about a more serious, meatier subject. And, you know, it's kind of flow with it. And the ums and uh thing, one of the things you said, and I don't think you said this on the air, but it cracked me up and I have to share it with our listeners, is that another time you've said is that it's particularly bad if we have a guest that's from the East Coast. I'm from the East Coast too. Because people from the East Coast talk faster than people say in other parts of the country. And when I say East Coast, I mean tri-state area, but also like into Boston and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we had somebody that was and a lot of authors are New Yorkers. There's a lot of authors that live in New York. And, you know, we'll be finished recording and you'll just be like, damn, New York authors and John, and they're talking a mile
you
a minute. And
feed and, off each other.
Yes, that's that.
You you're like, feed you just, off each other.
I know.
Is
I'm aware.
The
of
faster
it.
You go, the faster they go. Yeah.
Uh huh. I know. So it's also a regional thing too, and I do try to I do try to be aware of that now, because since you brought that, I'm like, oh, he's right, because even when we're in person, we probably talk that way. Maybe it's, you know, too much from being in bars and trying to talk too loud and talk too fast.
And finish it, because what happens is you start talking fast. They start talking fast. Before you know it, I'm getting you knows, ums, and uhs all blended together with the text, with the regular speech. And I'm sitting there going, there's no way I can edit this out.
Yeah, it's like, this is just this, and they're going to sound like idiots, and that's on them. Stupid East Coast.
It's hilarious to me that the first couple of times you say, you know, all of a sudden they'll start saying, you know.
And it probably works the other way, too, where I'm very conscious of it, and then they start slipping it in, and then I slip it in. And it's funny, Patrick, because so often, obviously I don't notice it in myself, but because this is something that I think about a lot now, I notice it in other people and I'm like, wow, that's really bad. I don't think I ever noticed this. Like as well. I don't know if I'm so bad with the likes. I'm more of a, you know, guy, but I notice like quite a bit in people that I speak to.
I can fall into the like thing because of California.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like going along and like, I thought like, gosh, this is like the worst ever. And I just don't like know what I'm going to like do.
Yeah. I'll say, wow, you just said like four times in a row with no other word in there. Oh my goodness. And I teach kids too. So some kids get really bad by the time they're like 10, 11 years old. There's a lot of like, a lot of like going on. But yeah, so no, I think this kind of, I feel good about where we're at now, because I have been thinking about that lately. It's like, I want the show to be good. I want us to have a good time. And I think this is kind of a good way of approaching it, where it's like, we'll still do the same show, the same kind of deal, but it's, you know, just do your research, but chill out about it. Don't be so crazy.
You want to ask informed questions. You want to, yes. A lot of times you want the author to know that you do know who they are.
Yes.
It can be bad if they don't. There's a guy who contacted me on Facebook. I want to say Dave Margosian.
Okay.
And I believe he's running a podcast on scififorme.com.
Okay.
And asked me, how do you interview authors? Like reached out and said, hey, I'm starting this podcast. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. How do you interview authors? And I told him a lot of the stuff that you and I have just been talking about. You know, make it genuine, make it real. You know, you don't have to, you don't have to over prep and don't read from a sheet of questions. Don't ask them the same 10 questions that everybody else is asking them, because you'll get the same answer that they're giving to everybody else.
I think too, the positive of being looser is that you can have repeat guests then, because if you kind of structure your show the same way, one of the music shows I listened to, it's essentially the same 10 or 15 questions, and they're good questions, and they're very good interviews. But I think, yeah, but this guy can't have this guest on the show again, because now we've gotten the answers to all those questions. Mm-hmm. So how do you have a part two? Now, I guess, you know, he can go ahead and put up new questions together for that guest. But if your show is structured in a way, like, let's say we were an author interview show that was really just only geared towards the author experience and only geared towards people who were authors themselves and aspiring authors. And I realize that's a lot of our audience. That's a good chunk of our audience. And they like all that stuff too. But if that's all it was like, well, tell us how your process is and tell us how this is. And look, we get to that all the time. That comes up all the time. But if that's all we did, then what's the point in ever having a return guest then?
Yeah.
Because, oh yeah, we already talked about that. And really, any creative person, but in our case, mostly authors, they're always working on something. I think in order to be a good author, you've constantly got to be growing and learning new things and, improving your writing. And over the course of your writing, you're going to come across something that you want to include in your book. And you're like, I don't know anything about horseback riding. I better find out something about it. Or I don't know anything about firearms, or I don't know anything about swordplay, or, whatever the case may be. So I think most authors, hopefully good ones, at least anyway, are constantly learning new things, developing new skills. And usually there's something that they're into at the time, right? There's always something that it's like, oh, I'm really into backgammon. I'm making up stuff. But so the point is that if you keep it loose and just keep it to what people are interested in, then it's going to be an interesting conversation. Some of the best interviews I've listened to is when the author talks about something that I had no idea that I wanted to know about. They're talking about cooking, or they're talking about, and it might not be something that I want to do, but it's still interesting to find out about these things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we talked about that for a while. So I don't know, Patrick, is there anything, we're actually at about the 40-minute mark, which would be a short episode for us, which would be a short one. Maybe we're finally going to have a short, just the two of us. Now I've just damned us to not have anyone, because now we're going to get onto something else. But what else is, if there's anything else on your mind that you wanted to chat about or let our audience know about?
I'm curious. Can you hear the fan on my laptop?
I can't.
Okay. I'm curious if that's going to come out in the audio. I am. The only thing I wanted to throw out there is we are recording with Zencastr, which we've talked about. It's been great. The only issue we've had is my own audio.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
And it's very bizarre, because I have done tests and it works fine. But for whatever reason, when we do our episodes, at the end, there are pops and cracks in my audio. And I don't know why, and I don't know where they're coming from. So if you do hear my fan going, it's because I'm experimenting and I'm recording myself on a completely separate track, not through the browser. Mm-hmm. And my laptop's going, are you trying to kill me?
And that's why you snapped in the beginning, so you can sync up.
So I can sync up the, yeah, tracks. Yeah. Which, yeah, that's good, John. You recognize that, huh?
I know I don't do the work, but I understand it.
That is exactly what I
do. I could
do
the work. Yeah.
You know, I get a lot of audio drift now anyway, so things don't always line up. I am doing more work to edit episodes now.
Yeah.
But it's worth
it.
And
if at any point you want to go back to the old way of doing it, that's fine too. But I know there are a lot of pros to Zencastr. So, but now it's introduced a couple of other things that we have to deal with now. But I will say this, it's a joy to just get that email from you and click on the link, and we're all there.
Yeah.
God, on average, we probably wasted 10, I know we have to give it 10 minutes to load at the end, but guess what? We had to give it 10 minutes just to get the person on the line, at least. I feel like sometimes it took 20 minutes to get everybody worked out and get everybody. And me too. Like, I'd be there. I'm like, yep, still haven't gotten the invitation yet. Don't know what's going on. So that'll, and then the separate tracks. I mean, just from an audio quality, I usually will check out our episodes just to make sure everything sounds good. And I love that my audio quality is so much better and our guest's audio quality is so much better because of the separate tracks, because it can all be processed separately.
Yep.
And It's really nice. I love that that's happening now, and it's essentially the people used to, and I guess some podcasts still do it this way, but I know early on some people that were audio snobs, and I would consider us audio snobs too, but we never went this far, always did it where everyone recorded on their own computer, would do it through Audacity or whatever
MP3 recorder or something like that,
and then they'd send them all, and they would cobble it all together. But that had to be a tremendous amount of work for everybody's part.
Yeah, imagine telling some of the older science fiction and fantasy authors that we've had on that they have to install software to record themselves. We've had some serious technical difficulties in the past where we have had to do, to John's point, not just 10 minutes worth of work ahead of time to start recording. I remember one night we did like an hour's worth just trying to get someone's audio to work because they could hear us, but their microphone was not working. And we just kept working, finally got it working, and then to record an episode.
Oh, it's very frustrating. So to me, the fact that we're starting all of our interviews now without that frustration.
Correct.
I mean, really, I think a couple times they've had to click on the icon, but usually they get it right away now. It's a much more straightforward process. And that in itself is worth the money we're paying for Zencastr. Just to, it just works. You click on it and it works. It's so nice. But yeah.
Future topics that we probably are going to have to talk about. The Punisher on Netflix.
Have you watched
it? I have, yes. Okay. And that's why I said future.
Yes.
So I'm throwing out notes for our producer, whoever that might be, to remind us to talk about these things. So The Punisher on Netflix. I just got a PS4 Pro.
Ooh, okay, cool.
So we can talk about that with Star Wars Battlegrounds 2.
Oh, Battlefront. Okay.
Is it Battlefront or Battlegrounds?
It's Battlefront 2, I believe.
I thought it was Battlegrounds.
You can look it up, but I'm almost certain it's Battlefront.
Oh, you're right. It is Battlefront.
I've been hearing a lot about it.
Yeah, so there's another game, that's why. There was an older game, I think, on Xbox that I have that's Battlegrounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you been playing that one
already? I've been playing the campaign, yeah. So people are lucky they got food yesterday. Because my PS4 came in with the game and I purposely put it away so that I wouldn't be staring at it longingly while I was cooking.
Yeah, as people know, I'm not a gamer, but I have a PS4, and go to another podcast to hear about all the controversy with that game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you read about it.
Oh, tons, yeah.
Right, but not to talk about that because there's other places you can get a better conversation about it. But I do want to get that and play it, even though I don't really play games, because I really immerse myself in Star Wars, as everyone knows, and I read most of the novels. And one of the novels I haven't read yet is there is a Battlefront novel that I don't know if you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. There's two now, but there's a new one that is essentially a prequel novel to the game.
Okay.
Where it's Iden Versio is the name of the character that you play. It is her story prior to the game. And it's written by Christy Golden, a great author who wrote one of my favorite Star Wars books, the Dark Disciple book. That's the one about Quinlan Voss and, what's her name? The villain from Clone Wars, the female villain from Clone Wars. I want to say Ara Sen.
Oh,
it's not Ara Sen.
Asajj Ventress.
Asajj Ventress. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. It's her and Quinlan Voss. That's one of my favorite Star Wars novels. So I've been interested in that. And I'm kind of thinking like, you know, maybe what I'll do is like, I'll read that book and then I'll get the game and I'll really immerse myself in the story. I don't think that's going to happen in the next month, but, I am kind of looking forward to doing that. I saw on YouTube the other day, someone put together all the cutscenes from Battlefront 2 already, and it's like a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
If you just want to watch
the cutscenes. The complaint I've heard is that the campaign single player mode is really short.
Probably, yeah.
And I'm probably almost done with it if it's as short as they say it is. However, I spent a lot of time. So I did a couple different things. I went on Facebook and I asked, just like you did like a couple of years ago. And overwhelmingly people were pushing for PS4.
It is. Yeah, it really, because I did that same thing a year ago and it was same deal.
Yeah.
Overwhelming PS4.
Very few were saying Xbox One, even though it's supposedly the most powerful console out there. They just didn't like the choice of games, you know, the selection.
Yeah, that's
what it came down to. Mm. And so I looked and I thought about doing a Black Friday or a Cyber Monday deal. I did some research and they basically said, if you don't own a PlayStation right now, go ahead and get the Pro. You're future proofing yourself, because it's a more powerful system. You don't, obviously it'll work a lot better if you have a 4K Ultra TV. If you don't, it'll still work for you, and you can always upgrade the TV, and then you won't have to also upgrade your PlayStation, right? So you won't be buying a PlayStation 4 twice. So I went ahead and got the Pro. But the other thing that I saw online was that they said there would be no discounts, according to PlayStation, no discounts on the Pro at all. Mm. And that seems to have held true. I haven't seen any discounts on the Pro. If you bought the PlayStation 4 itself, you could get it for like around $199.
Right.
So I ended up buying the Pro full price, but I got the Star Wars Limited Edition Battlefront version. Mm-hmm. So it's got the Star Wars symbols on it and all this kind of stuff. So I'm paying for their logos.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So I got that. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to get rid of my Blu-ray player, which is how I access Netflix. I wanted to get rid of my Fire Stick, which is how I access Prime, because my Blu-ray player did not support Amazon Prime Video. And so I was using one device to get rid of two, essentially.
Right.
And the other thing I did was I bought a little 3-port hub for HDMI, John. And I don't know if you've seen these before. It's smaller than a remote. It's probably the size of a deck of cards. And you plug in three HDMI devices and you have one cord going out to your TV.
Okay.
And it'll auto sense which one has the signal and switch to that channel or switch to that input. So it also eliminated a bunch of wires going to my TV.
Yeah, so you can access Netflix through your PS4.
Can do it all. And I set all that up. I set all that up after dinner.
Cool.
So I rewired everything, set it all up, loving it.
I don't use it for that because I use the Roku player, but I heard it's a pretty nice interface for all that stuff.
So yes.
I hear it's pretty good. Oh, and one thing, which is kind of nice because I haven't really done it since we first got it, because I watched a couple of Blu-rays on the PS4. And as you know, one of the things that I love about the Roku player is that you can plug earbuds into the remote.
And
You could do that with the PS4.
Correct.
Too. You put your ear, because I guess people do that when they game too. But so if you wanted to watch Netflix and not blast it, you can plug your earbuds into the controller and it's the same deal. It'll project the sound. So if you want to watch some big action movie super loud, crank it in your ears without waking anybody up. It's nice. So I'm assuming that would work over with Netflix and Amazon Prime and all that then too.
Yes. As far as I know.
Haven't done that yet. Yeah, if you haven't done that yet, that to me is such a killer feature, the ability to plug headphones
in. What cracks me up is it ships with a mono earpiece.
Mm.
That's your weird mono headset, which I thought was kind of weird. The other thing that I noticed is you can stand it on its side, but it doesn't have feet.
Oh, yeah.
You have to buy something. It reminds me of Microsoft computers,
right?
And the way that Apple is going now with their model as well, which is rather than give you this on the surface, we're going to license out a bunch of stuff to third parties so that you have to buy all these accessories. So I saw when I was shopping for it online that there were a lot of stands and different things to stand it on its side. And I thought, well, that's just silly. Why would you do that? Now I know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stood it on its side and I was afraid the cat will come along and, you know, touch a wire and the whole thing will come crashing down.
Right.
Because my Xbox 360 actually has feet. So when you stand it on its side, it's got these little rubber feet to keep it from wobbling or moving and stuff.
Right.
And the PS4 does not have that, which I thought was stupid.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Something, yeah. But no, it's a good, yeah. Actually, we just busted it out today for the first time in a while, because like I said, my wife wasn't feeling good, and my son has gotten the Skylanders games for like the past 5 Christmases, and there is no new Skylanders game this year, so I don't know what we're gonna tell his grandparents to get him.
Oh no!
It's like always so easy for everybody. It's like, I just buy a bunch of the guys. We'll buy the game. You buy a bunch of the guys, and we'll all be set, you know. And now there isn't a new one. But the funny thing is, he didn't really play the last game very much. He played it for a couple of weeks, and he never beat it or anything. So we were like, why don't we bust that one out? And sure, you got all these guys, you got the whole game, and like you never really played it. So let's, you know, I have the opposite issue than that most parents have. I'm like trying to talk my kid into playing video games more, you know? So come on, man, get on that PS4. What are you doing?
That's hilarious. I'm enjoying the game itself. I like it a lot. Mm-hmm. I ordered a couple others based on Ramon's, I'm blanking on the word now. Recommendations. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you, John. Thank you for giving me that word.
No problem.
Based on Ramon's recommendations, I did buy a couple of other games that haven't come in yet, but are supposed to come in, I think, like by Sunday.
Cool.
So you will never see me again.
That has always been my hesitation with getting back into games. I'm like, look, this looks awesome, and I know I'd love it, and I would never read another book, and I would never practice my instruments anymore.
You know what's funny is late at night. So typically my gaming happens after 10, you know, once I get mom to bed, and I will sit there actually with an audiobook playing a video game. I'll turn the sound down on the video game and have an audiobook going while I'm playing.
Wow, that's interesting. I don't know if I've ever heard of anybody.
Yeah, I do that because I want the reading too, you know.
Yeah,
and
of
I'm
course.
Still burning my way through the Wheel of Time books.
Sure,
so
I gotcha.
That's just kind of how I've been doing it. So
I'm gonna table. So with the Punisher thing, I'll put that out because it's on my list, but I haven't watched it yet because. I do not want to talk about this now because this is another hour conversation. We're already coming up on an hour, but I actually liked the Defenders. We never talked about the Defenders.
Yeah.
I kind of got the vibe that you didn't love the Defenders.
Did not
so
love
much.
The Defenders so much.
Okay, we'll talk about that again. Obviously, we both did not like Iron Fist.
Right.
So between not liking Iron Fist, I actually liked the Defenders, and Punisher has mostly gotten good reviews. I don't know how you feel about it, and you could save it until we do talk about it. But it is a very kind of grim looking and so I just have seen it and I've seen good reviews and I'm like, I know I'll get to it, but it's the first Marvel show that I didn't start watching in the first weekend, partially because being burned on Iron Fist. And even though I liked Defenders, I don't think it was as strong as the other ones. I'm just like, you know, I'm going to hold off on that. Cause like, that just looks grim. And I don't know if I feel like sitting here for a week watching all this grim stuff. And that's why I watched Future Man, which I picked in the last, and I'm like, you know what? That looks light and funny, but it's still kind of a sci-fi thing. So I'm like, you know what? That's what I want to watch this week. Like, I don't want to watch The Punisher, even if it's great. I'm just like not there. Right now.
And that was my, that was my initial reaction. We can totally talk about this another time. Cause you're right. It's another hour. That was my initial reaction to the first episode. And I thought about it for a little while. And then I decided to watch a couple more episodes. And I really started to like the themes, and you have to get through the violence to get to it. It's very violent. It's very violent. Gory.
But you
tons
know,
of blood.
But ultimately, worth a watch.
Yes.
You liked it more than the Defenders.
Yes.
Then? Okay. Good. I'm glad to get that reaction
because of the way that they're wrapping it all into themes that I think we can all relate to with everything that's going on in the world today.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that was part of the reason why I held off. I'm like, you know what, Iron Fist was such a disappointment, and you know, just like, you know, I'm gonna wait until I get more feedback on it. And I saw good reviews of it. Some people, a couple negative reviews too, but overall pretty positive reviews. And now I kind of wanted to hear from people that I know, like you and other folks that were watching. I'm like, let me get some better feedback before I commit. Let me, because that's the thing, is like so much stuff.
Sure.
Like there's so much good stuff you can get. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to watch something else right now. So, cool.
Understood.
Right,
and the other thing that throwing out there for the future, we need to talk about Star Wars Rebels.
Yes. Absolutely. That and the last thing that we're going to throw out there, everyone, whoever, you know, listens to the show, write this down. Remind us. I just finished, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but Cibola Burn,
yeah.
The James S.A. Corey book. And I listened to it with the Jefferson Mays, you know, because he re-recorded it. And that's that kind of is what held up me getting to that book, was because everyone told me how horrible the audiobook was of that one. And as we talked about a few months ago, Jefferson Mays did go back and do it, which was very smart. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to listen to that now. And I loved it. I thought it was great. And I know a lot of people that have the impression that that's the worst book. And maybe it is. I loved it, though. Yeah. I thought it was just as strong as, if not better than, a couple of the earlier ones. Now, again, I haven't read 5 and 6 yet because Joel Byrne is 4. But I loved it. I thought it was great. So it just goes to show that voice actor, super important.
It is. And someone pointed out to me on Twitter that I missed an Easter egg in season 2 of The Expanse. I believe it was season 2. Where someone is bringing their ship in to dock, and it's the Jefferson Mays.
Nice, that's cool. I have not watched season 2 yet, so I will look forward to listening to that. Yeah, I think they know what they got in him.
Oh yeah,
I think absolutely. I think they realize how important he is, and that's why they went and recorded the same book twice, because they're like, oh yeah, we have to yes. have him. Look, even if we have to delay the book next time. Don't waste your time with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Like, he is the voice of that book for sure. But yes, anyway, well, I guess we just did talk about it, so maybe we don't need to.
No, we'll still talk about it. We'll still talk about it.
Yeah, because I'm loving it. I'm just like, oh yeah. Now I just feel like that's all I want to do. I want to get the next 2 books under my belt and get on to season 2 and all that, because I loved it. But cool. All right. Well, now we're over an hour. Mm-hmm. Good job.
Yep.
Thank God. We almost had a 42-minute episode just the 2 of us. That will not stand. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Patrick, what do you I should always say, dig the show, patreon.com/functionalnerds. It helps out a lot. Patrick, anything you want to leave our audience with?
No.
Okay. See, Patrick, how he did a pregnant pause there? Do you see everybody? Yeah. Don't be uncomfortable with that pregnant pause. It's not a big deal. All right, everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time.
Smoke. I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
'You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?
I'm the one in the middle.